Hello and welcome to The Undermind, a podcast about AI development for StarCraft Brood War. I'm your host Shonko, I make computers do things. Let's begin. Welcome to the podcast. My guests tonight are Antigel.
Hi, good morning.
Another returning guest is Johan, the author of Banana Brain.
Hello, good evening.
And a new guest for today is Jaegers.
Hi everyone.
And as with the previous episodes, our first point should be the introduction of our newest guest. Would you mind to say a few words about yourself, Jaegers?
Okay, so I'm Jasper. I'm a computer science student in the Netherlands. And, I got introduced to the Brood War bot scene because I participated in a multi-agent system course at my university. And we had to write a Brood War bot in Go. And the bot is still playing on the SSAIT ladder. It's called ILMO. It's not really good, but I mean, you know, it's still there.
As a fellow potato author, I can definitely sympathize.
Indeed.
Speaking of the SSAIT, it's in full swing. I think today it's on 4,000 games of the planned 5,000 or something like that. Or I could take a quick look at the SSCAIT website, but I'm too lazy to do that. What are your insights so far? I think we are seeing a few surprising results. Oh, for example, Banana Brain is fifth on the ladder, so congratulations for that.
Thank you.
I think it's going really well. It's very interesting seeing all the stuff people have been working on perform. Lakotus and Cider are tied for first place right now, are very close to each other, both with 6 losses and about 95% win rates. And then we've got some stalwarts in there that are older, which is kind of interesting. Ironbot's still doing great in 3rd without an update. Bereavers in 8th, and is also doing really well. And we've also got Smoop, too, that is unchanged and doing well. Andrew Smith, our good old friend Skynet, is holding on in 16th without updates since 2013.
It's quite surprising how long bots hold out on the ladder and on tournaments. Like, there are multiple bots that wasn't updated in years, not just Andrew Smith, who you just mentioned.
That Bereaver is also an old bot that's still doing very good.
Well, when Bereaver was last updated? I have to check that. Oh yeah, 2016. 2 years now. That's quite surprising. And it still gets featured in the weekly Nepeta casts, so it produces good games.
I'm very happy with how Halpan is doing. I helped consult on that bot. Put in a ton of time with its author, and we basically took it from about 50th to about 10th in a month, with a lot of hours put into it. but it's doing well. I'm quite happy about that.
I wanted to ask you about that because I'm really curious, what does your coaching entail, or consulting, or however you want to call it? How should we visualize that process?
So I informally help a lot of people, and some more formally than others. But I've done a lot of tournaments with bots now, and I have a lot of experience of what to do and sort of how to process and organize and plan. And part of that is understanding that, you know, you need to have a plan of what you're going to do a couple months out, have certain structures in place, set up what you're going to do as far as targets and goals, work on build orders, and as it gets closer, you start doing less and less large changes and doing bug fixes, and in the few days before, you're not touching anything so you don't accidentally put more bugs into the bot than you fix. And there's also a pre-training structure that I like to work with, where you know, you essentially pre-train versus every bot on the ladder to execute at least reasonable strategies. And also, I've done a ton of playing over the years, and I have a really good understanding of what sort of some of the easier solutions to beat bots are. And I just try and help people out as I can.
That's very nice of you. And I think it's time for a public service announcement that you can be easily bribed with pizzas.
Yes, if you need help and you need a lot of help, I am easily payable in pizza and beer.
That's a good rate. And speaking of the bots and the ladder, what upgrades or bug fixes or generally what's improved in the latest version of Banana Brain? Because if I remember correctly, it has placed a little bit lower on the ladder before the tournament.
Yes, I believe that is caused by some updates to the other bots. I noted that my win rate versus Seda has become a lot lower since the update they did just before the tournament. And the same holds true for Lukutus and for Purple Wave. They are stronger versus Banana Brain now, so that explains that Banana Brain is lower now than it was before the start of the tournament.
What new features did you add for the tournament, if any?
Let me take a look. Right before the tournament, I decided to completely change the target selection mechanism so that units will target weaker other units, and they take into account how much damage they will receive and while attacking, and how much damage they do to other units. And in this way, they choose a target. The target of they choose their targets in such a way that they will kill the enemy as fast as possible, while getting the least amount of damage themselves.
Is that related to some kind of combat simulator, or it's entirely of your code?
Well, it is. I'm not sure if I should call this a combat simulator, but what it does is estimate how much damage a unit will versus another unit. It measures something called the damage per frame, which is it's a number, and it is the amount of damage it will receive in each frame, where I model the damage process as a continuous process. So in reality, a unit will do a certain amount of damage and then have a cooldown, but I model it as a unit constantly doing a certain amount of damage per frame to make calculations easier.
Something like a differential equation in the end. Is that anything similar to that?
Yeah, that's similar, I think, yes. I also noted that this introduced a bug, because now my units will completely ignore spider mines. I just ran some games versus Crazio, and I see the Crazio Terran, I mean. And I see that, my units simply do not care about mines. They just walk past them. Do not attack them. So that's a problem. I think that's a new problem I introduced with the targeting system.
That seems to be detrimental to the unit's health.
Yeah, I think so as well. The Crazio Terran is not participating, so he might still have a chance.
To everyone's dismay.
I have a small question. Why the name Banana Brain? I like it a lot.
The name has two explanations. One of the frequent members of the Discord already guessed that, but there's a song called Banana Brain, and if you look it up on YouTube, then you're probably going to find it first hit. That's one explanation. And the other explanation is, a lot of years earlier, I worked on another game that had a possibility to make your own AIs. So it was just a game where you control a tank and drive around, a very old game. And that game had the possibility to make your own AI, and in that game they called an AI a brain. So that's the brain part of the name, and because it plays Protoss, and Protoss buildings have a kind of yellow tint to them, so that's how I got to Banana. So so banana brain. That's well, the second explanation.
Wow, thanks.
It's actually cool. I thought it was just because the majority of the Protoss things are yellowish and banana is yellow, and so. But not everyone names their bots or things the dumbest thing possible, like I do. I think it's a very good naming example when you can't think of anything worthwhile. Just name it the dumbest fucking thing you can think of.
Yeah, I think maybe thinking of a name was the hardest part of placing my bot on the student AI tournament.
For example, you could call your combat simulator enemy hurt thing about her.
Yeah.
Actually, you can't. Now I want to use that name.
Okay, well, then I think of a different name.
Or maybe I can just open source license it or something. Yeah, that was I'm mentioning it because the licensing thing sparked up a debate lately, yet again. It's people are still trying to figure out how to license their bots after all the 10,000 Locutus forks. What are your thoughts on that? How are your bots licensed while we at it?
Well, my bot is closed source, and I never did anything with license. There's no license on it. But since it's closed source, nobody can do anything with it.
Oh, I thought it was open source.
No. Right. At least not yet. I don't know if I'm going to change that in the future, but at this moment I have no plans to make it open source.
Is there any particular reasoning behind it?
It gives a competitive edge.
Yeah. Also, just by doing nothing, it's closed source. If I want to make it open source, then I have to do something. So, yeah, I simply did nothing about it, just kept it the way it is.
I'm just curious about what's behind these decisions. I mean, for example, Crazio is very vocal about this sometimes. He really does not want to open source his bot. Speaking of bots and tournaments, AIST is on the horizon, and Antika, actually, you wanted to talk about that. So, with that, please inform the audience everything we need to know about that.
Okay, well, just a quick comment about Crazio and Closers. He has said that if he retires from StarCraft competing, that he does have plans to open source it, or at very least release it so that the code will be available for the people to look at and use as inspiration, which I think is a good sort of compromise in some ways with competitiveness. He's not going completely the route of I'll never do it. So,
yeah, I can completely understand his reasons, and anyway, I'm not passing judgment on anyone on this front. I think this is a decision everyone has the right to make.
Yeah. Well, I'll speak a little bit about AIST. So for those that don't know, I run a tournament called the AI StarCraft Tournament, which I think now and in the future years, it will always run in the spring. And is a tournament designed to replicate a professional competitive tournament. So most of the bot tournaments are run with really high game counts, which is sort of like a war of attrition in a sense. It doesn't really reflect what it would be like to play against a human player as a bot, because you only get a limited number of games. Humans tire. You can't just queue up with 100 games and see who's better, right, over that many. It doesn't work that way. So AIST uses a professional map pool from the most recent pro season of StarCraft, and it also operates in a limited game format. So it's a best of three double elimination tournament with a best of five finals. And after the finals, the winner gets a chance to update their bots and then play versus a human on that same map pool. It is roughly around what I deem to be the rating of the bot that wins. It's a good opportunity for preparation against human play and to participate in a different tournament style structure. It's designed also that I watch every game live. There's also there's a source code review, so source code is required to be submitted but will not be released, just to verify that people aren't copying each other and that there isn't any untoward flags being activated as well. And we also have a cash prize this year for the first time. So we're paying out $100 for first, 50th for second, and 25 for third. If you would like to donate to the prize pool, I would love to take donations. They'll go directly towards rewarding bot authors and for competition. Main changes for this year from last year, it's a different map pool. There's no islands in this year's, as there were islands in the previous pro season. There are not this year. I've also changed LF3 as human play on ladders with the newer changes to latency and stuff. LF3 is actually more representative than LF6 as far as what the latency being used in professional tournaments is now. Blizzard's been able to reduce some of that. So some changes, some updates, a little different map pool, and look for people joining the competition. We'll see who decides to play this year.
I hope many bots will enter. I try to finish my bot. Well, not finish, a bot is never finished, but make something of my bot that can be reasonably compete.
It would be great. I do have, because of the tournament structure and me having to dive in and do code inspections and all that, I do have a minimum cutoff as far as MMR for bots or ELO, which requires a minimum ELO on SSCA, AIT, or Basil of 1900, which if you're in the top half, you'll meet that cutoff.
Do you accept any kind of operative help organizing the tournament? You mentioned code inspections, and that's something I think a human could help you out with, or anything like that.
Yes, I would love to have a partner, especially an expert as far as that has a broad knowledge of different languages. Mostly I'm just looking through to make sure that, you know, all map information flags and things like that are not enabled, and that people aren't doing a lot of checking of opponent unit IDs and things of that nature. But yeah, I would love to have a partner that's an expert across languages. Nubai, if you're out there and interested, you would probably be my first choice.
Well, it's a call to the audience. Help Antigua out. You will be doing good for a world.
I'm an all right programmer, but there's a lot of stuff that I would miss. You know, it's really just to make sure that you get a look and to make sure that people aren't doing things they shouldn't be doing. There's, like any sort of API, there are weaknesses in API, and there are certain things that you can do that I won't explain in detail here to gain an unfair advantage by monitoring the opponent bot. So,
you mentioned the upper half of the score table, and my observation is, by looking at that, that there is a strong divide between professionals, let's call it professionals, and students on that board. So maybe in the future, not just for SSCAIT, but for any tournament, different divisions would be a good idea. Maybe not just two, students and regulars, but even more, because as we spoke about it in the previous casts, companies are having teams, and it's just not, you just can't compete against a dedicated team of individuals in the long run. I'm curious of your thought on the matter.
It's interesting. You know, there's more tournaments popping up every year. I think a tournament like AITT, which is a small StarCraft tournament that has a size limit, is really interesting as a programming challenge. AIST is mostly designed as preparation for playing against humans, which is, you know, it's not kind. Yeah, it's designed to be highly competitive and rough. Some of the other tournaments like SSCIT have different sections for student divisions, and Aid, Dave Churchill, was talking about having rewards for first-time participants and different categories as well. which may come about in the next year, which I really think is really good. There needs to be a variety of tournaments, not just sort of the upper level competitive stuff, but variety with different incentives.
I think it's a very good idea to welcome newcomers with some kind of prize. So I'm going to buy 10 fake mustaches and get 10 prizes. Any more thoughts on that from the other guests?
I have no opinion on this. I don't know.
So I wanted to talk about this development in general, and because most of the people, and I think you included, are just doing this as a hobby and after work or in your off days or something, and well, time is short and code is long. How do you make time for it? How do you prioritize your things? What's your process on that?
Well, I have a very long to-do list with all kinds of things, all kinds of some of the points are big, such as adding force fast expand to my bot, and sometimes there are just small bug fixes, like the bug fix for Zeddles getting stuck. I just have a long list and I do what I want. What seems the most fun at the moment.
Prioritizing according to fun.
Yeah, that's the prioritization. Not everything leads to the most added win rate or make both better, but it should be fun. I do this in my spare time, so it should be fun.
Yeah, for me it's basically the same when I have time, and mostly it's when I have an idea to do something, I'll try to do it. I'm right now writing a bot from scratch using the library I created, JVAPI, and I'm currently working on building placement, etc. So whatever I want to work on, I work on. There's no real structure yet.
So for neither of you, the primary goal is to just win at any cost?
No, not for me. It's not about winning.
It's really important to keep it fun and enjoy the process. The people who don't find enjoyment in doing it don't stick around for the long haul. You often bot development projects are multi-year, and thousands and thousands of hours. And so if you don't enjoy it and don't structure it away in such a way that you do enjoy it, you're headed for trouble. Professional teams have different organizational types of things. And I've worked with a few authors that have a little more systematic way of sorting and organizing what they do. A common way to do this is to create an Excel sheet that has, you have what the problem is in one column. The second column you have how many hours it will take you expected to fix. And the third column is the expected win rate gained by fixing the problem, right? And then in the fourth column, you can multiply the hours used by the expected win rate gain, and you can basically get an estimation factor that lets you sort and compare the Excel spreadsheet according to get the most done for your given time available.
I think it's called prioritize according to yield.
Yeah, and it's a pretty simple concept, right? But it provides at least a way to organize and work on things. And the other thing in organizing is understanding the tournament seasons. So there's half a dozen tournaments throughout the year, and when you're several months out from a tournament, you can afford to make big changes and do large upgrades and restructuring. And it gets to be a month before maybe you need to be done with that and start working on build order type of stuff, and the week before you really ought to be frozen on large changes and be doing bug fixes only, really. So understanding that process and then sorting your tasks by a system like that allows you to make more systematic progress. It also works a little bit better to organize like that if you have multiple people involved. Solo developers, there's some limited benefit to doing that, but as you get bigger and have more people and more projects and parts, having some organizational bits is helpful.
Yeah, I think this can be called software development and project management in a nutshell. So, as the magnitude of the bot coding, the size of this project gets bigger and bigger, it stands to reason to use tools that are already used in professional environments. Especially glad that you mentioned that, because I was just thinking today that during my job I have to plan and have to estimate and basically oversee a software development process, and I could easily adapt this to my bot. The reason I'm not doing it because it's not fun, and as you mentioned, if it's not fun, why am I doing it? But still, there is some benefits to be gained here. That begs the question to everyone: can you use anything from your day job during development of your own bots? Do any of the skills transferable, really?
I'm a student, so not from my job, but yeah, most of the things I learn in my study I can use for the bot.
I tend to think that everything you've ever learned sort of goes into a project like this. AI development is so complicated that it involves and touches so many different aspects, from your mathematical skills to your organizational skills to your programming skills, social skills, ability to interact with other people in the community and get advice, and ability to read and bug check code is sort of its own category itself. It really touches on any and everything you've ever used as far as skills to go into something like this. It's really interesting.
Yeah, and actually computer science studies are very helpful here, as I didn't really expect to use most of the maths and stuff I learned at the university. But yeah, how about you, Johan?
Yeah, I think that some of the algorithmic stuff, which I do not actually use during my day job, comes in handy here, such as A-star pathfinding, that kind of stuff. Maybe that's the reason why I do this as a hobby, because some things that I found fun during my computer science education, I never used them in my day job because, well, I don't need them. But here I do need them, and that makes it fun.
I just had the same experience.
It's a really good environment to learn new skills and expand. You know, if you have a day job as a developer doing sort of a narrow thing, coming back to something like AI development and StarCraft bots is really sort of, it feels like a breath of fresh air, and like the world is open to you to use all these skills that maybe you learned in school that have sort of rotted. And you get to explore new and different ways of doing things and get exposure to different interesting sort of prototype software ideas, which is really quite wonderful.
I can't say anything else that I wholeheartedly agree. I'm an enterprise developer by day, so it's quite different from bot development. Not to speak ill of it, of course, but yeah, it's different kind of challenges. All right, I'd like to mention another thing, which is not really related to StarCraft, but let's talk about the Diablo 1 AI, because I find it very interesting that there is actually an API for that, and people have challenges and prizes for Diablo 1 bots.
Well, I also run that tournament.
yes.
And I've been long behind that effort. So I didn't know you were going to talk about it, so that's fun.
Yeah, it was a loaded question, of course. I'm always acting like I just came up with the question. But no, it was a well-prepared question.
Yeah, so there's I've long wanted there to be an API for Diablo 1. Diablo 1 is a very interesting game. It's sort of a simplistic roguelike, and it has a really interesting challenge as part of it called the Iron Man Challenge, which is essentially once you go into the dungeon from town the first time, you never come back to town, except until you defeated Diablo on that difficulty. the challenge is played in multiplayer. Essentially, you buy what you need in town, and you go down, and you don't come back up. And you tell you beat Diablo, and you get to go to town once, and then run all the way through Nightmare, beat Diablo, run all the way through Hell difficulty, and finish the game. And actually, about 2 months ago, that challenge was completed by a solo player for the very first time after about 25 years of attempts. And I don't even want to know how many hundreds of thousands of tries. It is an extremely difficult challenge to complete. I'm actually sort of a old sort of semi-professional PvP Diablo 1 player, and I've played it more than I would like to admit. And I have gotten what's called a single crown, which is beating the first difficulty one time. And I've never gotten the double or what's called a triple crown, which is to beat all three difficulties under Iron Man. And I don't even want to know how many hundreds of tries that I have made. And, you know, I play StarCraft quite a lot, so I can sort of compare the two. And I would say that a triple crown in Diablo 1 is an on-par AI challenge, in my opinion, to beating like a professional StarCraft player. It is extremely, extremely hard. And formed this tournament as part of it in conjunction with NitCat, who wrote the API. And the beta version of the API is quite functional, and we have example bots playing, and they're available for people to take a look at. And it's really a very interesting tournament. I don't know what questions you guys have. But
okay, when is the tournament?
So the API went into beta release on January 1st. And we're hoping to have the first tournament around June of this year. We know of, I think, 4 bots in development, which isn't very many yet. But we would love to have more associated with it.
Are you thinking of participating, Johan and the Jaegers?
Well, I'm not sure, because I never played Diablo 1. So it might take me some time to learn the game before I can actually make a bot for it.
Had you not childhood?
Yes, it was mostly StarCraft.
Yeah, it was a milestone game for me, Diablo 1.
Yeah, me too. You know, I really, Warcraft 1 and the original Diablo are what I played in high school. You know, and StarCraft really only came out when I was in college, which sort of ages me a little bit. Sorry.
How about you, Jaegers?
Yeah, I probably won't write a bot. I don't know. StarCraft is now what I'm focused on.
Yeah, I would like to write one, but I don't have time as it is. I sincerely hope that many people will try to take up that challenge.
Yep, if you have any questions, you can email me at email address is diabloaitournament@gmail.com. I have an email for it. And the site is actually sites.google.com /DiabloAIT. Should take you to the homepage.
By the way, will AIST contain a GPU? Can bots use a GPU on the AIST ladder or tournament?
Not at this time. Well, I'll caveat this to say that AIST runs on SC Docker, a same modified version that is used for Bazel, maintained by Bytekeeper. So if your bot can run on Bazel, it'll run. And you can use that as a test environment. Instructions for setting up his build are available on the competition website for AIST and how to do all of that. But yeah, it's an SC Docker system, which at this time does not support GPU. I hope that it will at some point, but that is not available yet. I would also love to support prototype builds of BW API 4.3, but I can't. I can only support SC Docker supported versions at this time, and that seems unlikely to change before tournament registration for AIST, which starts on the 1st of February.
Okay. This year, the maps of AIST, do you have weird maps that might cause problems for existing bots?
They're less likely to. Last year, the professional map pool include island maps like Sparkle and etc. But this year, the professional map pool is much, much tamer. None of them are islands, and really none of them are very weird. That said, two of them, depending on what you're using to use map analysis, have some oddball pathing. But they're no more difficult than a map like Benzene, for example, or Complex. So standard bots should be able to play in AIST with only minor modification, if at all. And the map pool is available on website, as well as the map pack, which you can download and take a look at.
Okay, that's nice, because the problems with the maps and also the LF6 thing were last year. That was the reason for me not to participate, because I just couldn't get it to work in time.
Yep, so the map pool for AIST Season 2 is Benzene, New Heartbreak Ridge, Aztec, Circuit Breakers, Eddie, Fighting Spillet, and Roadkill. And perhaps the only maps in there that you haven't seen before from a participant that's been used to SSCA, AIT, or Basil is Eddie and Roadkill, but they are not terribly unusual maps. So, you know, five of the seven are already used in other AI map pools.
What about Aztec? Because that's a map I don't know yet.
It's pretty simple. It's a three start location, nothing weird.
Okay.
So I guess four of the seven are ones that have been in other pools before. So
I heard Aztec described as a noble attempt, but ultimately a failure of a balanced street player map.
Yeah, it's a little interesting. It's interesting that it was selected to be played. So these maps are all from, I believe, they're from KSL Season 2. So if you're familiar with KSL Professional Tournament, they're the exact maps from their pool. Exactly. So there should be, it's a fairly balanced pool. It does have its criticisms, but it's decent.
And even if the maps themselves are not balanced, the pool is, so in the long run it will even out.
Yeah, it's pretty good, I think. It's got the most balanced map of all time, Circuit Breaker, in it, so that's at least progress. And it has a newer version of Fighting Spirit than what's used in SSC AIT with some fixes and things too.
Another thing I wanted to ask earlier. Jaegers, you mentioned that you are working on building placement. First question is, what language are your bot written in?
The bot I'm currently writing is in Java. I always started in Scala, but I don't know. I'm writing it in Java now.
Code in Scala, all the cool dens are doing it. My next question would be that if you use the BVAB library made by MacRave, but since you're in Java, I guess the answer is no.
Yeah, so I'm not sure yet. Right now, it just randomly selects them where to place the buildings. And MacRave said that he would finish his 2.0 version of web, and then maybe I'll look into porting it maybe to Java, because I've looked at the source code and it's not that much code. It's reasonable.
It would be a very nice thing if he did.
Yeah, I'll see if I have time. It all depends. Or I'll roll something of my own and learn, but I don't know. I'm not super interested in building placement. I don't think it's that interesting of a challenge, but it's a big challenge for sure. And I really have a lot of respect for it. MacRave that has his own library and open to everyone to use, that can make like fast expands and stuff like that.
I can definitely agree on that. Okay, our next topic is I had seen an influx of new people, which are not necessarily bot authors, but people wanting to play against bots and try them out. And I think that's a very good thing. That means that people are people outside of this kind of tight scene are getting interested in bot games, and that is something that should be encouraged, in my humble opinion. But what's your take on this?
I'm not sure if my bot is ready to play against humans. I mean, someone in the chat decided to let my bot play versus professional players, or versus the ladder somewhere, I don't know where it was. And, well, my bot did not have a lot of chance to win that, I had the idea.
Yeah, but you are not trying to beat the best players, you are just playing against the average user. That could be fun.
Yeah, that would be completely different. But, well, if someone wants to play against my bot, then that's fine with me.
I think it's a good thing. It would be a good thing if we could. I don't know if bots eventually could be used as training tools for players who want to be professional, or just play humans because that's more easier and faster way to achieve pro status.
If you use a bot for training, then you could make this program the bot to do a specific strategy. Because if you want to exercise against a specific strategy, the bot could perform it in a very good way. And a human player may get tired of doing the same thing over again because you're trying to train, but the bot will not have a problem with that.
Good example would be unit micros, because, for example, Vulture and Mutalisk micros are done well by some of the bots, and just counterplaying against them, it would be a good practice. Antiga, maybe you are more close to this, as you have coached people on StarCraft. What are your thoughts on that?
So I played the bots a whole lot myself, you know, way over 1,000 games, and it's really very enjoyable, and it makes for interesting practice partner, especially, you don't want to call up your friend, sort of high-level player, to help you practice against Vorpal. It's a waste of his time, and you need a way to try, you know, different strategies at different rush distances and at different positions to test, right? And a bot can do that for you quite easily, which basically is saving man hours in practice scenarios. And they can be set up to do a number of different strategies like that, which is really very helpful. As far as playing humans competitively, you know, the top end of bots, I tend to think, are around 1650 to 1700 MMR if they were to play on the human ladders, which is, you know, better than about 80% of the people who play StarCraft. But it doesn't sort of get, you know, sort of mid and lower level amateurs who have sort of a passing interest. It's a lot of fun for them to play the bots. As they get to be higher level amateurs and move into sort of semi-pro category, they start to win at a really high percentage against the bots at this current time. And a professional player just sort of dumpsters the bots. It's not close. So they're making progress, and they're getting better every year. And I really enjoy all of that. And of course, I sponsor the Pizza Challenge, which is basically you buy me a pizza, and if you beat me with your bot, I'll buy you pizza back. So. And that's available on the Pizza Challenge site, which you can also see on the AIST site. It's sort of a subcategory in there. But it's just been a fun, informal challenge that I've had for quite some time now, and just put it up in a format for people to look at. And if you're interested, let me know.
I think we mentioned it in one of the previous casts. But whatever, reminder never hurts. And pizza is the hard currency of the world.
Yes, you will learn quickly that if you want something done in bot development or need help, pizza's the currency. That's how we do things.
I'm not brave enough to ask your opinion on pineapple and pizzas. Let's not touch that subject.
No. If you end up owing me pizza, it's going to be anchovies and pineapple. So, just for more.
Sounds disgusting.
It's the best.
The best for you.
Okay, we just lost half of the audience.
Antigos, by the way, for the challenge, for the pizza challenge, Antigos.
So the only formalized bot who has done a formal sort of series against me is Crazio, but it was before the pizza challenge was formalized. So I haven't had any takers yet. Bot authors only get to try twice a year. I have to sort of limit it because I'm going to practice and study against the bots, and I'm sure they're going to practice and study against my replays and whatever they're going to do. But no, I haven't had any formal takers, and I would love to have someone take a shot at it. But as part of it, you know, of course, I note that, you know, I'm going to put in a good 5 or 10 hours of practice against whatever bot it is, and do a lot of replay review, and I'm going to treat it like I would play a professional human player, right? So I'm going to actually study the map pool. So it won't be easy for you. You're going to have to really put some effort in as a bot developer to be successful. It's designed as a gatekeeping tool, essentially, and a place for bot authors to prove themselves before they try and schedule matches against real professional players, to provide a pathway. And if you were able to beat me in a best of five, I will try my darndest to schedule a game versus a top 500 player for you. So, and I have some context to help make that possible.
Okay, that's nice. Maybe I will give it a try somewhere this year, but I still have to fix a lot of bugs. So before I will even try to do such a thing, so might take some time.
Yeah, no problem. Just let me know when you're ready.
I believe you play Zerg, by the way.
So I'm a Protoss/Zerg player, yeah. But because of SCR and the allowance of remapping hotkeys, I basically can't play Protoss in 1.16 anymore because my probe and my pylon key are now E, and if I switch back and forth, it confuses my brain. It's not good, among other key changes. So Zerg, I use no key changes in 1.16. So yes, I play Zerg for the pizza challenge.
Okay.
I really hope we see some takers this year.
I hope no Zergs take me on and make me play ZVZs. Those are rough.
I just found my motivation to work on my bot.
Well, we're just talking about Zerg and ZVZs for your challenge. But I noticed that the Zergs are not very high up on the ladder. And I was wondering if anyone had any idea why that's the case.
There was really interesting discussion ahead of the last few channels, yeah. And a couple of channels regarding that.
Yes, I saw that, but I didn't really get an answer from that. Lots of discussion. Yeah, there was lots of discussion.
You know, it's one of those things where I participate in that discussion, and I have some sort of different opinions that perhaps some of the other people do. Outside of perhaps Proxy and Killbot, I'm not seeing a lot of really concerted Zerg development going on. Jay's doing work with Steamhammer as well, but it's more private. The Protoss bot developers often are talking to each other quite a bit. I know that you kind of have been a little bit separate from that, Banana Braid, but like the author of Lucutus and Purple Wave and McRave, there's a lot of sort of cross collaboration that goes on the Protoss side. trying to develop, and everybody sort of improves working off of each other and ideas and stuff over the long term. And on the Zerg side, there doesn't seem to be that level of collaboration. I have asked Jay a couple times, you know, if he could do a repository or a GitHub that would allow forks and branches to happen a little bit easier with Steamhammer, but that hasn't really materialized over the past few years. And I think that might help increase the level of collaboration. There's also a really dedicated effort going on the Protoss, and there was, of course, with Halpan for SSCIT, also a really dedicated effort. You know, I know that Halpan and, for instance, Dan put in, I don't even know how many hours prepping for SSCIT. And I often don't see that sort of a dedication as far as time going into the Zergbots, you know, and that's dependent on authors and time and development, and I totally understand and all of that, but there's not a really big Zerg forerunner at the moment that's really trying to push the edge, I don't think. I'm a little skeptical if Killbot can do it doing one strategy as well. It's sort of slowing itself down, in my opinion, but that's my thoughts.
Okay. It should also be noted that we don't have Cherry Pie in this tournament, at least not the new version.
That would, yeah. No GPU support, and SSC AIT seems, you know, obviously it can't compete without them, really. So I do hope that we'll see it in the spring when Dave Churchill's new ladder becomes available. He is planning on some GPU support, but that this time does not yet exist. So,
well, my take on this, and I must admit I'm relatively beginner in bot development, but Zerg is counterintuitive in most of the places. I mean, with Terran and Protoss, you make buildings, from those buildings you make army, you send army, you kill stuff. And with Zerg, it's a different dynamic, and I had to adjust my brain to think about that. Granted, I'm not a pro player by any means, I never was, but programming the bot was kind of a mindset change for me. I don't know if that's just my experience, but Zerg is just built differently. That's it. That does not explain, of course, why there aren't many Zerg authors.
Well, there's a lot of Zerg on the ladder, but there's also a lot of four pools that are Zerg. And if you only use four pool, well, that'll only get you so far.
And
yeah, it's interesting. You know, Zerg has some very specific issues. One of the great ones that is difficult to solve is the army versus worker issue. Because you can only build so much of each other and you only have so much larva, you have to decide what percentage is worker and what percentage is army. And a lot of the bots use fixed ratios, which makes them very inflexible. And only a couple can vary that from 0 to 100%, depending on what's going on. And how that's calculated is really, really important to how Zerg operates as a race. And I think there's a lot of struggles there. I think there also hasn't been a lot of work as far as Wallen as Zerg, especially versus Protoss. I think we'll, in the long run, see some of the, Graves Wall Library and building placement library integrated in some of these Zerg bots, and you'll start to see some placement in the natural versus zealots and things that'll be helpful. But a lot of that isn't quite implemented yet. Also, the individual armor units are very weak as far as hit points is concerned, and they suffer disproportionately as far as indecisive behavior, jumping in and out of tank range, and they also really benefit from good tactical squad movements and flanking and stuff, which a lot of bots only attack on a single line and path and don't avoid collisions with their own units very well. And we have a lot of cheap ones that becomes a major problem. So there's some of these issues are sort of unique to Zerg.
Maybe Zerg requires more intuition type logic, which humans can easily have, but it's harder to grasp in bot development.
Perhaps, you know, a lot of the build orders are not as fixed when you play Zerg, and they're more flexible, which a lot of the Protoss and Terran ones are, they're pretty static, and they build X amount of army out of so many structures, and at certain times, Zerg, you know, I think Zerg is really ripe for use with machine learning and algorithm testing and some really interesting tools and ideas that will benefit it quite a lot in the long run. If you interview professional players, if and say if you had infinite APM, what race would you play? And almost every single one of them will tell you Zerg, because the advantages are so massive. And that that hasn't really their opinion of that hasn't really materialized in AI development. So I don't know.
Basically, Zerg is the hardest race.
Maybe. That said, you know, I think there's a lot of low-hanging fruit. A bot like ZZK or Purple Swarm that only really does no macro hatcheries, basically a combination of different rush strategies, can be quite successful. I think Purple Swarm's 10th or something on Basil, you know, and it's really just a simplistic fork of Purple Wave with rushes loaded. So there's quite a lot of potential there, even without using some of the more advanced tools.
Now I have to learn all the machine learning in the world.
Good luck. That's a lifetime learning investment.
I planned to do it like until next Sunday or something, but yeah. And with that, this episode is concluded. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me.